Well, 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 looky what we have here. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is Tuesday morning. It is February 11th. I am in the home studio this morning. It's already 10:03 a.m. Where has the time gone? Well, I'll tell you where it's gone. It's gone to the dogs. Literally. I just have been taking care of the dogs all morning. There is no end to the dog stuff. Oh, so much stuff. Just the rattling. Why is there such just so much rhetoric out there? Oh. You know, sometimes you just have to disconnect from it. I've got a little trip coming up here this week. We've gone over the weekend, but I've got most of the weekend. I've got a little deal going on where I'm going to be gone for. I'm going to have a long sit somewhere, which is kind of unusual for me. Usually, I travel around all over the place, way up in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And of course, it's because it's cold up there. I have to go up there because it's cold. They're trying to figure out why it's so cold because, you know, global warming. So I'm going to be up there. Where's that happen to that? Oh, there it is. I've got some clips I want to play for you this morning, so I'm trying to get this all put together. And it's been the last hour, basically, has just been trying to put this together, plus taking care of the dogs, keep making sure they're not chewing, you know, the house up completely. So I have this trip. I have a whole day to sit up in Marquette. Like a whole day, like I get in there one day, sit the whole day, the next day, I leave the last day. But it's kind of a bit of a rough trip. But it's I get that whole day where I sit around and do nothing, and I was contemplating just taking some PTO. But I think I'm going to do that next week. So the after that trip, that's the last thing I'm going to do for the. I'm just going to take the rest of the month off. That's what I'm planning on doing. Maybe a couple of days throw in there somewhere. So I don't know. See how that goes. But it's a lot of stuff going on. I do have my regular cup of chai here, which is always good. It's kind of cooled off. It's already cooled off because I haven't been drinking it because, you know, I've been working on this video stuff. So the audio clips, I should say, converting the video to audio clips. I have, there's the file I'm looking for. I'll be playing this in just a little bit. I have, there's a couple things on the same file, so hopefully I can figure that out, courtesy of some other YouTubers' channels. So I've had to edit some things out, some of their commentary out, which makes it sound like I'm doing something weird, but it's nothing weird about it. All right, so we have a backup cup. I've got the backup cup here of just water with ice in it. It's good old homemade water right here. We make it right here at our house. Nothing didn't come from a bottle. We put it in bottles. Actually, we bottle our own water here because we have a reverse osmosis system, and we have a mineral replenisher goes through, puts the right amount of minerals in there for you, which is really it's really good. It's good tasting water. But anyway, the tune out there, the whole thing is what's going on. There's a couple things going on. The whole thing with the rhetoric of the Doge thing that's happening, of course, USAID, plus there's other things that are happening. Some of the things that are being said, really, the left is taking advantage of people's ignorance. And I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm saying they're ignorant. When you're ignorant, that means you don't know something about something. And they're taking advantage of that by making it sound like Doge is going in and taking all, you're not going to get your Social Security check. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get that. And the only reason you're getting it is because the Democrats are fighting for you. You know, you have to ask the question, why are they in such an uproar? Why are they having rallies? Why are they marching around D.C., putting just this grandstanding with all this stuff about how evil Doge is. How evil. They're vilifying Elon Musk and these poor kids that are not poor kids, they're incredible kids. They're working for Elon Musk, and now all of a sudden, they're the ones who are the villains in all this. My information is in people's hands I don't trust. Well, tell me something. How much do you really trust the government that much? I mean, you were working there just shortly. I don't trust you. And you were working there with my information shortly, just a few minutes ago. So it's just, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but it's just the logic here of some people and the rhetoric, the hyperbole, the narrative they're trying to push, all this stuff. And then there's the flat out lies. I'm just getting tired of all this. The president's approval rating right now is 20 points higher. As a matter of fact, the Republicans, which I don't understand either, why the Republicans' approval rating is so much higher. It's almost 20 points higher than the Democrats right now as well. People favor Republicans 20 points over the Democrats right now in this country. That means even Democrats favor Republicans more. What's going on? Definitely independents. Now, I don't necessarily, I'm sitting here going, where are the Republicans in all this? We hear about a few of the people that we know are tried and true conservatives. There's three or four of them in Congress who are actually out there speaking out and trying to introduce some bills to get some things done. And they fully back what the president's doing here with DOGE and trying to get some efficiency going on. But it's very quiet. Of course, when you see how Mitch McConnell gets back and forth to Congress, it's we're basically operating a nursing home on the Capitol Hill right now. It's become pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. How this guy's not functioning. It's the people around him. If it was up to him to end, the one thing we should expect from our representatives, leadership in Congress there, is that they have enough independence to be able to move around on their own, have their own thoughts and make their own decisions and have their own opinions. That's not what's happening right now on Capitol Hill. You've got geriatrics going on. We saw it all the way to the White House the last 4 years. Mitch McConnell is in worse shape than President Biden is. Speaking of which, has anybody heard from him lately? Anybody checked, done any wellness check on him? We have, I might want to do that on Kamala too. I don't think she's doing too well. She's seeking out Hillary Clinton for counseling advice. That can't be good. We have, The Democrats are just losing their minds, and they're continuing to double down on this whole thing. Now I want to play this audio. I'll set this up a little bit. So we have this audio of a Democrat pastor, obviously a Democrat pastor, Reverend, who's making statements that, in my opinion, are abhorrent coming from a pastor. This is the kind of rhetoric that if Donald Trump were to echo or say this kind of thing or make this kind of a speech, their heads would explode. They'd be, every single Democrat on the left would be introducing articles of impeachment. They'd be marching, they'd be requesting the military march in and take this guy away if he made this kind of a statement from Capitol Hill. They accuse him of doing this all the time. But let's listen to this just for a little bit. This is just a pastor, and I had to edit some things out because there's a guy that makes some commentary on it. So hopefully this comes through okay. But it's absolutely pathetic. It embarrasses me. I'm embarrassed for the guy. Here he goes.
Therefore, there will be conflict. I pray that the peace of God will win out and overcome the madness that is attempting to take over this nation.
Well, amen right there. I'll say that. Let's pray that the peace of God overcomes this. Maybe it could just start with your own heart there, buddy. Because what you're calling for Well, we'll just see what he's saying. Now, he's not calling for it, but he's certainly not disavowing himself from it.
And I will say to you, beloved, no one likes violence, but sometimes violence is necessary.
Oh, is it really now?
When Elon Musk forces his way into the United States Treasury and threatens to steal your personal information and your Social Security check?
Is that what he's doing? He's stealing your personal information and your Social Security check? That's not what he's doing at all. This is a lie the left has perpetrated, and now it's filtering down into the messages coming across pulpits across the country. This is the, you know, there are activist judges in our country. There's obviously those. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about this, some of these lawsuits that are going on. But this idea that the DOGE agency is going in to steal your personal information. They're going to take your personal information. They're going to spy on you. And then they're going to take your Social Security check. Well, you know, this is because, you know, they're trying to go after seniors here. They're trying to get seniors to get up. And, oh, they're going to take my Social Security away. I can't live without my Social Security. Well, of course you can't. And Elon Musk, DOGE, the whole operation, President Trump, nobody has said anything about taking away someone's Social Security check. Now, if you're scamming the system, if you're getting two Social Security checks and you should only be getting one, if you're committing fraud, that should be taken away from you. In fact, you should be put in prison for that, in my opinion. That's illegal. It's called stealing. That's what that's called. There's still a word for that, by the way, and it still has consequences, or it should have, anyway. And this is what we're dealing with. This guy basically says, they're coming to take your personal information and your Social Security check. They're robbing you blind right there. This organization is going in there. No, that's not what's happening here. The reason Social Security is suffering and the reason it's having so much problem is because of all the fraud. If we can get the government back in line and back in order, Social Security will last again for another 100 years. But that's the whole point of DOGE. We've got to cut out this glut. We've got to cut out all the fraud. We've got to cut out the waste, or else we're not going to have a government left. And that's not what they're saying. They're on the opposite side of this. They're saying they're taking the government away from us. They're taking the government. Oh, they're taking all of our money. They got their hands on the Treasury. That's not what's happening. The Treasury Department's, they're auditing the Treasury Department. They're auditing where all this money's going. And we're finding all kinds of crazy, wacky things. The American people know it. But the legacy media would not have you know that. And the leftists, and the way they're, see, they're, their little cash cow, their little golden goose, is just about to be served for dinner. And they don't like that. That's why they're throwing such a fit. If you ask yourself, why are they marching in the streets and having rallies about this, about government efficiency? Because they have something they're losing. They're losing something here. And they're trying to spin it in a way to make it sound like, you're the victim. You're the victim here. No, you've been the victim. And they've been on the receiving end of that victimhood. They've been the ones robbing and stealing and manipulating your information and trading on inside information. Just the whole thing reeks. And they don't like this. They don't like the stones being uncovered or overturned and the lights being turned on where the cockroaches live. So they don't like. Let's go on with what he has to say here.
There is a possibility of violence. Sometimes the devil will act so ugly that you have no other choice but to get violent.
The devil will act so ugly that you have no other choice but to get violent. This is coming from a reverend. I don't know what scripture he's quoting there. I don't know where Jesus said that. Sometimes the devil gets so ugly, you have to get violent. I'm pretty sure he says that in First Hesitations chapter 6, verse 66. On the 66th, something about the 6th. This is absolute fraud coming over the pulpit. This is, you know, we have, like I was saying, we have activist judges, we have activist pastors. Keep in mind, Al Sharpton was supposedly a reverend. Jesse Jackson was a reverend. They become social justice warriors because there's this thing called liberation theology that was the predecessor to BLM, but it's the liberation theology mentality, and they've twisted the gospel on its head and basically made the gospel out to be, you know, to fit into what this social justice oppression resistance thing is all about. And it is a doctrine of demons. It is a divisive it's just not good. So I'm not going to get into it too much now. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm also not going to call myself some kind of theological expert. However, I am a believer, and I have actually read the Bible several times. Just saying, that doesn't make me an expert necessarily, but I can certainly tell when, most of the time when I'm being hoodwinked by somebody like this. Anyway, let's go on.
I'm gonna try my best.
Oh, this is I can't think of her name. Jackson, is that her name? Whatever her name is, this is actually a House representative. She's talking about, I'm gonna preach here, I just rewound this whole thing. Let me do it this way because this works better. To pull this up and do it this way.
Therefore.
Because every, thank you, it's not to
I have no other choice but to get violent.
No other choice but to get violent.
I'm gonna try my best not to preach. Just want to say thank you. Because every day that we show up in D.C., we show up for you. We know who we work for. We know that we work for the American people.
Really? What exactly, who are you actually working for here? Because this money's already been taken from us. You see, this is, and they talk about, and she's going to go into the same rhetoric. This is where all this stuff comes from. It comes from the same place that this pastor, this reverend, this preacher, was getting his information. Now, she doesn't want to preach, but because you know, she'll tell you why later. Because she's so upset, she's so angry, she's so mad.
What we're not going to do is stand around while they pull this bullshit that they're trying to pull right now.
Okay.
This is why I'm not going to be able to preach, because I probably won't be able to stop cussing.
If you can't stop cussing, then you have no self-control. That's just a lack of discipline on your part. Sorry. There are times I want to let expletives fly, and it doesn't happen. If I hit my thumb with a hammer hard enough, there's just things that come out of my mouth. I don't know. I don't know why that happens. But
But let me tell y'all something. I know some of y'all have been frustrated. And yeah. You've been saying, where are the Democrats?
Okay. Yeah, we're all saying, where are the Democrats? We're all frustrated. Some of y'all have been frustrated. I don't know that there's that many people that are all that frustrated. Are you not getting your checks? Are you not getting your welfare? Are you not getting your Social Security? Are you not getting your benefits? Is that not happening? Is somebody cancel your checks? It's not showing up in the mail. What's going on here? Why are you frustrated? She's telling you you're frustrated. Why are you frustrated? She's just telling you you're frustrated because, oh yeah, I'm frustrated. Well, maybe it's not this that's frustrating you. Maybe it's something else in your life that's frustrating, and you're just taking it out on it. This is the kind of gaslighting that happens all the time. And they're accusing the right of gaslighting, of course, but
Where are the leaders?
Where are the leaders? My question is, you know, they're asking where are the Democrats? Well, they're out there marching in the streets and they're doing all this stuff. If I'd have been that guard there at the USAID, whatever it was that he was guarding there that day, that Maxine Waters was in his face saying, can I see your identification? I showed you my identification. Did you say what? I showed you my identification. What'd you say? I said, I showed you my identification. What is wrong with you? You can't hear anything. And he wasn't going to show it again. See, I probably would have said, yeah, that's my identification. He knew the cameras weren't rolling the first time she asked. They were rolling the second time. He's not going to play that game again. This guy was brilliant, man. He played him like a fool, like a fiddle, I should say. But this guard is out there. You got to watch this guy. He's cool as a cucumber. I have a feeling. I don't know what this guy has been through. I don't know what he has done. I bet you anything in terms of security. I bet he probably was thinking, you know, I could probably just take out one of my eyelashes and kill every single one of you if I wanted to. This guy was, I had the sense that this guy probably had skills far greater than Liam Neeson. And he would probably, he's the meekest man on the face of the planet at that moment because he knows he could destroy every single one of those people in front of his face with his bare hands. He wasn't armed. Didn't even have a cell phone on him. I didn't have that radio, nothing. Just standing out there. Just didn't want to hear it. And he understands the rhetoric. It's like having yapping dogs barking in your face or this little, all the cackling chickens, whatever it is you want to call them. They're out there being a mess. He knows it. He's standing there cool as a cucumber, knowing that at any second, if anybody touches him, if anybody messes with him, it's going to get ugly really fast. And he has no problem standing there ignoring them. I was thoroughly impressed with this guy. If nothing else, he has extreme social skills. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared. He was bored out of his skull. He was disgusted by what was happening in front of his face because he knew this was a show. He was 10 steps ahead of these people. So he's standing there, and they're all yelling at him. Why won't you let us in? We're members of Congress. Oh, well, then you have the right to walk into anybody's. You know what I would have said to him, which it probably would have been the wrong thing to say. I said, where exactly are you, do you actually report for work? You might want to just go there. Is that where do you conduct your work and what do you actually do there? We vote. Okay, well then why don't you go there and vote? What are you doing here? Why are you, see, members of Congress don't actually physically go do any investigating at all. They normally don't do anything. They send their little legwork people out there to do the investigating. And they don't go out and make these kinds of shows unless they are trying to create some kind of narrative, some kind of grandstanding, some kind of optics, the political theater that they have to present. Trying to get on the wave of this whole thing. That's what's happening here. So that's all political theater. It's all an act. Act like they care about you, the American people. We work for the American people. I digress.
In our conversation, do you think you need to
remain? Here's this. I'm going to get this is back into more of the. That gets into more of the lawsuits that are happening with that whole thing. But look, just think about this for a moment. In how and why they're putting up such a fight against this whole thing, why are they twisting the truth, making it sound like your personal information, this is going to affect you directly by them cutting waste out of the government. Well, yeah, it will affect you directly in a positive way. Hopefully it will reduce your taxes. Hopefully it will make government more efficient, at least the money you're spending. I'm not saying you're going to reduce your taxes, but if they, at least the money you're paying in taxes is going to go somewhere and actually do something. It is what Trump ran on, by the way. This was a major part of his platform. And they're on the wrong end of it. And incredibly. They're on the wrong end of this whole thing. Now, there was also an audio. I was going to play this other one. I don't know what happened to it. Let's see if I can find it, because it's. I don't know what happened to this. It might be at the end of this. Let's see if it's here. Oops. Oh, no, it's going to start over.
Security number. Our secretary. People in the. I'm angry.
Yeah, that's
I am
not, that's not going to work. Yeah, I'm not sure where that's at. I had this this other one that maybe I've got it on my phone. This is the Scott Jennings thing. He goes into this whole thing of. He's on CNN, and he's talking about this whole thing of how they the Democrats are on the 80-20 of everything. They're on the 20 of the 80-20 of everything. The American people are highly in favor. 80% of them are in favor. So 70-80% of them are in favor of everything Trump is doing right now, and they're on the 20% end. And they think they're trying to make a deal out, and they're trying to make a platform out of this whole thing. Then he makes the perfect point here. He says, anything Trump decides to do, they want to be on the other side of it because they think that's the winning side. Or they want to make it look like there has to be opposition to everything he does. He can do nothing good. So therefore, they have to be on the other end of that and prove that he's doing something bad. This is the opposite of what we need. They want to be the party of unity. Well, it's only unity if you agree with them. That's where they're at with this whole thing. Now, there are lawsuits right now that are going on. There's one, Anna Kasparian. Where did that go? That should have been in here, too. Where did all this stuff go? Let's take a look at this one right now. This is an interesting one. Basically, this is, I'll play the rest of this, I guess. And this is a particular one about the whole Doge thing. I think it starts right about there. This lady's being, now there's, this voice has been masked. And this is a person who worked at I think it was USAID. I think they worked at one of the government agencies that had been shut down. And they're terrified. They're scared. Now, this is pretty long. It actually goes on for about a minute, a little over a minute. I want to play the whole thing because this interviewer asks the question, why do you feel like you need to protect your identity? Well, because it makes it look more dramatic, as if their life is on the line here or something. I don't know. That's kind of the way they're acting at this point. Well, I have to cover myself up because they're trying to kill me. I could face retribution. That's not what it is at all. This just makes the whole thing more dramatic. Now, knowing what I know about voices, and even though you're trying to cover up someone's voices, this person, I believe, is a male. I believe it's a person. I don't know if they identify as male or not, but I think they have probably a strange orientation, but I'm not going to get into that. Just based on the vocal things that I'm hearing, the vocal cues I'm hearing here. But it's obvious to me this person is either, I believe this person's a male who may not identify as male. So we'll just go with that. And I won't go any further with it than that. So we have, so let's listen to this person. Being interviewed. This is the drama.
Knowing
let's
if just our go on with it. Emails or channels were safe.
That went too far.
Not knowing what was in the USA building. Things start very hard.
There we go.
Now some of y'all have.
There we go. Here we go. All right. This is where it starts.
Our conversation. Do you think you need to remain anonymous?
It has been a very hard week. Personally.
Oh, yeah, very hard.
Professionally, as I said, I live in Washington, D.C. Many of my colleagues work in this field. Starting from January 21st.
Well, when many of your colleagues work in this field, that's kind of, most of my colleagues work in the same field I do. Colleagues are people that work in your field. That's the definition of that, by the way. Let's just not be confused. But
so the first day of the new administration, things started to go sideways very quickly. The atmosphere of fear that was in the USAID building, which we're no longer in, the atmosphere of fear in terms of not knowing who was in the building, not knowing what their motivations were, not knowing if our emails or channels were safe, not knowing how to interpret these executive orders, right, around DEIA or administration priorities, all of that created an atmosphere of massive insecurity.
Good. Good. Government bureaucrats, government agencies should be a little bit more fearful of what might happen to them if they screw up, if they're trying to hide something. Shouldn't feel all warm and cozy with, you're the people with all of our information. You should feel like you're being watched. Absolutely should. You should be being watched.
Just members, feel like it. Including Elon Musk, have access to not just the data within the USAID world, right, and the USAID system, which includes my personal email address, my social security number, my entire security file.
Yeah, guess what? My personal email address is out there in public, and my personal information is out there at my bank, at the IRS, all kinds of places. And young kids who aren't part of the government have access to that and process it every day. There are people at the bank that have my information. I bet, I guarantee you, he has a bank account, or he or whatever that person is, has a bank account where 20-year-old something, 20-somethings, have access to his personal information. And I, you know, maybe not, maybe even their security, you know, clearance stuff. I guarantee you the people who are in Doge have security clearance as well.
Well, it's a 19-year-old kid.
Well, yeah, a 19-year-old kid can be background checked. You can background check all these people, and I bet they're outstanding, upstanding citizens. But they haven't committed any fraud, any kind of crime. If they were coming across the border, you'd be welcoming them with, welcome. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Some people, maybe some immigrants to come in and take care of the problem? Clean things up, do the work, do the jobs you don't want to do. They probably come in and clean your toilets. Who's going to clean your toilets, Mr. Trump?
My information is entirely compromised.
This person's information is entirely compromised. Entirely compromised. Because, you know, they're going in and getting all this person's personal information, and then they're publishing it in the local newspaper and putting it online for everybody to see. That's not happening. They're not after your. They don't care about your little personal information. They care about all the spending that's going on, where this money's going, who's and where it's going, who it's leading back to. This is even more importantly, I think, part of the whole thing.
And it's in hands that I don't trust.
Well, I don't trust the hands of many politicians that have my information. I don't trust some of my own representatives that far. I always question why people get involved in politics to begin with. It's just, most of them are power mongers. They know there's power. I just heard somebody say, it was yesterday, making a speech in one of the rallies that the Democrats are putting on. They were saying about how this is, they're stealing the power. This is power that they're taking. They're taking the power. Yeah, and you guys are upset because they're taking your power. They're not using any kind of, they're not abusing the power that, you guys have been abusing your power and using your power. And now all of a sudden you're going to lose your little diadem. And you think it's, you're just scared.
That's being used to achieve this so-called efficiency. Not only do they not seem to be vetted and approved by the President of the United States or our Secretary Marco Rubio, they're entirely the actions of a rogue few individuals.
Actions of a few rogue individuals. These people haven't been vetted by the President or Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio is fully behind this whole thing. He's said it several times. He's made very public statements about this whole thing. about 90% of USAID needs to be dissolved. Christy Noem. Same thing. She said, yeah, it either needs to go away. She was talking about FEMA. It either needs to go away or it needs to be completely retooled. Yeah, obviously it does. They're all on board with this. They all realize that, look at this. FEMA spent so much money on taking care of the immigrants that were coming across our border, that when an actual emergency happened, when a hurricane and tornadoes came through the country, we have no more funds. We'd have no more funding to make it through the rest of the year. That was Mayorkas's statement. There's no funding. Because they spent over $500 million for immigrants. This is the people who are complaining now. They just think that there's no end to this money tree. They don't see how it's gutting the middle class, that's gutting our country. It's just the common worker out there, the person who's trying to just work hard enough to put their kids through school, feed their kids, put them through school, buy diapers, living paycheck to paycheck. That's the way they want you, by the way. They want you to barely get by from paycheck to paycheck. No, don't put anything away for savings, because that way you'll be dependent on them for all of your life until you finally retire, and then you're going to be dependent again to the grave, cradle to grave, dependency on the government. All the meantime, working, thinking that you're free. You're free. We're here to protect your freedoms. They don't want you free, especially financially free. They want you to be a financial slave all of your life, because they can then use that to motivate you to continue to work so you can pay your bills, you can have another new car, all the things that you are told you have to have in order to, you know, be normal, keep up with the Joneses. So here we go. Let's continue to play this.
They're dangerous. They're illegal. They're cruel more than anything.
They're dangerous. They're illegal. They're cruel more than anything. They're cruel. They're coming in. They're poking me with a stick. And then they poke me in the eye and they sprayed vinegar in my face. They're just cruel. And they call me names too. What?
Are you vilified by a billionaire?
Being vilified by a billionaire. Okay, look, dude, I don't know who you are. Your name hasn't been posted anywhere. It doesn't matter. We're not vilifying you. The American people aren't vilifying you. They're vilifying. Maybe you need to be vilified. Maybe you're the one that needs to be. Maybe you're the villain. Maybe you're somebody who's been channeling money for all over the place. And you know things that we shouldn't be doing. Is that what's going on here? Vilifying you. I never heard it get personal. It's all been about the agency. USAID agency. Agency for International Development. I've never heard anything about any of the people who work there as being a problem. If you're just working there, you got a job, good for you, whatever. Now, if you know about the corruption and the crap that's going on, then that's on you. Then yeah, you're part of the problem. This billionaire's coming in and he's such a big bully. Who's being vilified here, by the way? The guy who has done more technologically in our nation he's like a modern day Graham Bell or who's the other guy? Thomas Edison. We don't have many people in every generation. We don't have a lot of people who can. We have people who are just as talented, but they don't excel like this. This guy's jumping in, basically volunteering. He doesn't need to do this job. He's got an incredible team of people. Let's just utilize these people. They want to do it. Just let them do it. The president's behind him 100%. It's just, and they're acting like Tom Homan's, you know, the president's mad at Tom. They'd always come out with these press releases. It's like they're trying to drive a wedge between people. Oh, the president says he's mad. He's mad at Tom Homan because he's not arresting enough illegals. Then they ask him, and he's like, no, I'm perfectly fine with what he's doing. He's got a tough job. He's doing a great job of it. Elon's doing a great job. We got him doing that right now. And then we're going to send him over to this agency, and we're going to send him over to that agency after that. So what else is going on? They are terrified. These are people who are scared.
Who has decided that he's unilaterally going to take help away from the poorest people in the world, and he's doing it on behalf of the American people, is particularly gross and horrifying. And I am angry, I am sad, I am devastated for my colleagues, for myself, for my family, and for the American people.
All right, so let me get something straight here for a moment with y'all. I've heard a lot of things quoted recently about how this nation is, you know, when you start to help the oppressed and the poor. In fact, this one person said, Jesus, when he was reading scripture, this is how, oh, this guy's a pastor. I should see if I can find this, because it was actually sent to me. I'm sure I can find it, because it's right here somewhere. My wife sent me this. And it was, where'd it go? Yeah, there it is. That's not it. This is it. Oh, yeah, it's right here. This is a thing about what, I think it was J.D. Vance that said something about this. Talking about how J.D. Vance kind of weighed in on something. He does say something here about, here it is. This is from Luke 4. This guy goes off all kinds of different things here. And it's in Luke 4, Jesus stands in his hometown synagogue and reminds them that God has always shown grace to outsiders, and they tried to throw him off a cliff for it. That's his take on Luke 4. Now let me explain to you what was going on here in Luke 4. When you find out what was really going on, it has nothing to do with what this guy said. They didn't try to throw him off the cliff because he was trying to welcome illegal immigrants. Okay, that's what he's equating this whole thing to. That's what he's trying to say. The outsiders are coming in, and he's just twisting everything here. So let's be clear about what happened here on this day, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So we have, what's happening here is, Jesus is at the temple, at the synagogue, not the temple, the synagogue. And it's his family line. You have to understand, each family, they know who their descendants are. They know who, so they know that it's at a certain point, a particular family line, a particular person in that family line is called to stand up and read a particular part of Torah. And Torah is read every week. There's a section of Torah that is the section of the week. In other words, it's divided up to, so that every week there's a different, it's in a lunar calendar. So it's every week there's a different part of Torah that's read, or that's the section of Torah that's read from, or part, you know, that's extracted from, whatever you want to call it from. And it's every year they go through the same thing. Every year they have a certain portion of Torah, scripture, that they read. So he didn't just pick the scripture to read. It was picked for him. It was the scripture that he was supposed to read. And just so happened, just coincidentally, it fell on his family line to read that. Him being the firstborn. He stands up to read, and he reads this scripture. The only thing he added to it was at the end, he said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." He was talking, this whole scripture was about, it was from Isaiah, and it was from the oppression of the poor, the whole thing. "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, the zealots, the Jewish religious institutional people of the day, understood exactly what he was saying. He was saying he was Messiah. There were people who didn't like that, thought it was blasphemy. They sought to kill him. Nothing like what this pastor here in this little Facebook post is trying to say. Totally off of that. On the very day that they would be taking two goats, driving one off of a cliff, and tying a red ribbon around the other one, driving one off of a cliff, they tried to drive him off the cliff. He became our scapegoat. It was as if there were two of him. They tried to push him off the cliff, and somehow he found himself on the other side of the crowd. And they didn't know what happened to him, how he went. He literally showed that whole action with the goats was all about him, what he came to do, what he was about to do on the cross. They didn't try to push him off the cliff because he said we should serve take care of the poor and the... What does this guy think? This is the kind of twisting of scripture that leads someone to say, "Violence, we need to... Sometimes the devil gets so ugly that you have to commit violence." Where do you find that in scripture? You need to resist evil. And it's... No, he's talking about he's talking about actions that are indefensible, in my opinion. But not to be the instigators of violence, let's just put it that way. We have to use violence to defend people, but that's not what this guy was talking about. And this is the same thing. This is not just to twist the reason why they tried to drive Jesus off a cliff. Takes away from the actual reason that they did, which is absolutely abhorrent to me. And this is the kind of rhetoric we continue to hear from activist pastors. And of course, we have the activist judges that are happening right now. What we have right now is these judges are trying to push back on some of the executive orders that Trump is trying to get pushed through. One of the things that he's trying to push through is the act of stopping funding for certain things and stopping the immigration stuff and just different things that are happening out there. And of course, he's trying to they're putting in this whole thing of pushing back by filing lawsuits. I think there's a Rhode Island judge and a couple other. And of course, Robert Gavea, he's been really interesting to listen to lately just because he analyzes some of these cases really well. And I plan to have a little bit more information on the cases tomorrow because I think that's going to be critical that we kind of look at some of the legal stuff, the legal battles that are going on behind the scenes because they're trying to block him on every case. And it's what they're doing is literally just amazingly. it's borderline. Well, interfering with elections, that kind of thing. The case with Anna Kasparian, some of the stuff that's happening there, some of the things she was saying in recently, the way that the lawsuit's going with the way he – because the Trump administration has filed a lawsuit, or Trump himself is for the campaign, has filed a lawsuit against CPS, I think it was, who basically was saying that they was it Whitaker, whatever that guy's name was, was interviewing Kamala, and they changed the – they re-edited the statement that she made on one of the questions. And, of course, the answer she originally gave was just ridiculous, and it was a word salad. And, of course, they turned it around, took parts – they re-edited the thing to make it sound like she was smarter than she was. And the problem with that is they're calling it election interference, according to the Trump campaign. So that's what they're trying to go after CBS for. Well, one of the deals that there's some deals going on behind the scenes that are kind of interesting between CBS and some people that have to be in with administration. So there's some things happening there. But it's the whole thing kind of reeks. I mean, the problem I had with what Anna Kasparian was saying about it was this that they just edited it. People do that all the time. Fox News does it. Everybody does it. I'm like, no, that's not what happened here. They literally recut something she said somewhere else and changed the answer. This is not just editing down for time like she was trying to say. This is editing to make her look better. There's no question about it. They wouldn't have done that to Trump. Trump would have said something stupid. That would have been the only thing you would have heard for 10 years. You can't tell me they weren't trying to influence how she looked. Trying to make her look smarter than she was. Or articulate. So that's all I got to say about that. We have, we have tomorrow. Tomorrow's the middle of the week. There will be a show tomorrow. There will also be a show on Thursday. Probably not a real long show on Thursday. I'm not sure how that's going to go. Friday, probably. Yeah, probably not so much. Maybe so. There might be a show on Friday. If there is, it will be from Rochester, New York. Let's just put it that way. I'll be in Rochester, New York Friday morning. Unfortunately, I was in and out of D.C. a few times this week. I want to be there again this weekend. So it's kind of a tough talk about the atmosphere there. Folks, God bless. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Take care. I will talk to you tomorrow, hopefully, Lord willing. God bless.